We turn again to God's Word and turn to Acts chapter 4. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, reading from verse 1 through to verse 12. And then we will turn to the book of Proverbs and to the one proverb that we will be considering this evening, which is in Proverbs 18 and verse 10. So Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. And then Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Excuse me. And this again is the holy and infallible word of God. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, and the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power, or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And turning to Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." Amen. And this morning we were considering the matter of the fear of the Lord. And as I mentioned this morning, this evening, we're considering this phrase, "the name of the Lord." The two really do go together, because in fearing the Lord, we also fear the name of the Lord. In calling out on the name of the Lord, we also call in the fear of the Lord. Now, Scotland certainly is a country of many dramatic landscapes, and there are many places that we could go, and many roads that we could drive on, and we could think, "Wow, what a sight, what a view." There's one that I find particularly striking that isn't too far away from here. It's not away up in the far north, but rather if you were to drive from here, head down into the borders and go to Hawick, and take the road from Hawick to Newcastleton, just down in the border, there is a hugely dramatic sight. You turn a particular corner, and there, nestling in the border hills, up in this desolate wasteland, is Hermitage Castle. It's this huge structure, built many centuries ago, And of course the inside of it is derelict now, but the walls are still standing, very much intact. And there it is, the tower, sitting on this landscape, with nothing else around it. The picture of power, authority, and strength. And whenever you think back in history on this particular tower, this tower was once owned by the Elliots. I don't know if there are any Elliots in here or not, but it was once owned by the Elliots. Elliot was the name. And for one who took the name of Elliot, this tower was the symbol and sign of their strength and authority as a family. It's a visual reminder of what power there is in a building like a strong tower, and the significance that comes in a name. And what we see from this proverb that we've read this evening is that that matter of the strength of a building and the power of a name resonates throughout the whole of history. Here the writer of the Proverbs is saying the name of the Lord is that strong tower. The name of the Lord is that place that you run to and you are safe. It's a picture, it's an image that people would have understood. And certainly in thinking of somewhere like Hermitage Castle, it's an image that comes into my mind. So what is it that we can say about this matter of the name of the Lord and the strong tower? How can we connect these so that we understand what God is saying to us here? Well, there are three things that we can say about this. Three things which we hope in the Lord will encourage us and build us up. Three things which refer to the name of the Lord. The first thing is this: the name of the Lord is our salvation. The name of the Lord is our salvation. Now that matter of what's in a name is a fascinating subject. It's funny how at home, whenever I tell folk my name or my name's Dundee, automatically they'll ask me, "Oh, you must be Scottish." Yeah. But I have to say that we have a next door neighbour at home whose surname is Glasgow. And there's somebody who's not very far away whose surname is Stirling. So there's kind of a little map of Scotland and where I live. It's just how it is. But folk will say, "Your name is Scottish, you must be Scottish." I come here and folk like yourselves say to me, "Well, how did somebody from Ireland get a name like that?" But a name like that, like Dundee, tells a story. It tells a story of where my family came from. It gives something about the background in a general sense. The name is important. And if we looked at each one of our names, those stories would be told for each one of us in some way. What's in a name? And the thing we need to understand and grasp fully and never let go of is this matter of the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? What is its significance? Well, the significance of the name of the Lord, first and foremost, is that matter of salvation. That the name of the Lord is salvation. That's why we read that passage from Acts chapter 4 earlier on, where Peter and John are faced with that situation of the authority saying to them, "Who gives you the power? Who gives you the authority to do what you're doing and say what you're saying?" And almost behind that, they're saying, "Who do you think you are? Remember your place." And so the significance comes in this, their answer, that the name of the Lord, and there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. There's a significance in that name. That name is salvation. That name alone is salvation. There is no one under heaven who can say that same thing. Only Jesus Christ is the Savior, is salvation. Peter and John came in that name. Peter and John declared what they were declaring, did what they were doing in that name. The church down the ages does it in that name. And so I trust this evening I am able to speak in the name of the Lord, with that full power, with that full authority. And his name is salvation. We are all human. We all will place our trust and our hope in something. Of course, the hope at the moment is that the vaccine rollout will happen and this COVID emergency will disappear and the vaccine will have done its job. And we could say, well, how do you know that? What's the source of your hope? And they could turn and say, well, this doctor, that doctor has said so. This will work. This will do it. There's a claim of a power and authority which isn't their own, so to speak. It belongs to the medics or whoever's making the vaccine. That's the idea of that power and authority of a name. And here we're being told that the power and authority of the name of God is salvation. And do not place your trust in anything else for salvation. As Psalm 20 tells us, some place their hope in chariots and horses. But where we should place our hope is in the name of the Lord. He is our salvation and our salvation alone. And if we look for salvation anywhere else, if we make the effort to work out our own salvation in any other way other than through the name of the Lord, then that is wasted effort. And it is something which is of severe and utter consequence. Salvation is in the name of the Lord alone and only him. But look at how this name of the Lord is pictured. Is a strong tower. And isn't that a powerful picture whenever it comes to salvation? Because whenever we think of salvation, we need to think, well, what is it that we are being saved from? There is something within salvation that has that matter of rescue connected to it. So if you happen to fall in the Clyde, for instance, and you're splashing around there in the Clyde, and somebody comes and picks you up with a strong hand and pulls you out of the water, that is a rescue that you have experienced. That rescue could be described as salvation, as you being saved. So how is it that this matter of the strong tower and the name of the Lord as salvation are connected? Well, as we go into that tower, as we rush into that tower, as that gate opens and we enter in, we are saved. There is a barrier between us and the danger that was once upon us. There aren't many of those border towers left and in a working condition, put it like that now. But there is one just near Kelso called Smalham Tower. And you can go there and you can see how the tower would have been many centuries ago. And on the outside, there's what was known as the yett. There's this steel gate, this gridded gate made of thick metal. And then behind this yett, there would have been a thick door, the first door. And then there would have been another door behind that. And even once you were inside the castle, you would be into what would be known as the undercroft. You're still not yet in the castle itself, because you would have had to have gone up steps, and there was a trap door and a stone floor on top that would have held, that would have been weighed down if somebody had managed to get in who shouldn't have been in. And so those who would want to find salvation, rescue in this place, would have to go through that yet, the two doors, into the undercroft, up the steps, and then they would be safe. That's the idea of salvation. To be rescued from something, from some danger, and taken to a place of safety. And whenever we're thinking of salvation, well, what are we thinking of? What is it that should be in our minds? What are we being rescued from? Well, we're being rescued from something that is very unpopular in this day and age. We're being rescued from God's wrath, from God's righteous anger against sin and sinfulness. We're being rescued from that which will ultimately destroy all who do not know salvation. This is something that people don't understand or they don't want to hear today. Sure, God's a God of love. God's a God of peace. He doesn't want to do anything like send people to hell or anything like that. No, don't talk like that. You'll discourage people. People won't come to church if you talk like that. But the simple truth is this. This is the truth. And this is the power and the might of salvation, that God rescues us almost from himself. He provides that way of salvation where we can go to this strong tower where we are safe, so that his hot anger does not fall upon us. We go through those doors. We're safe behind the metal gate. We're on that stone floor and we are secure. This, friends, is salvation. And this is why the name of the Lord is a strong tower, because as we are saved in and by the name of the Lord, so we are kept safe from the wrath of God. And of course, we're also saved from something else, in that, as Paul describes the Christian struggle as being that struggle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're taken from that scene of spiritual warfare and we're taken to somewhere that is safe and secure. And Paul, of course, describes the Christian walk as being that of a war, that we are involved in a war. And I don't know of anybody here, I certainly haven't, perhaps has been in that situation with the live bullets flying. And I'm told that by those who have been in that situation, it's not a good place to be. Because at any moment there is a threat, any moment there is a threat to life. And just one bullet travelling in the wrong direction, so to speak, and you would be in trouble. But that whole matter of being at war is something that the Christian is. It's something that the whole of mankind is involved in, even though they don't realise it. And so we see that place of safety, that place of rescue, that place of salvation as being the name of the Lord in this strong tower, in the light of actually saving our lives. And so the name of the Lord is something that is so powerful, so great. It is our salvation, our rescue. Perhaps it is you don't feel that you need to be rescued. Perhaps it is you don't think that there is any particular danger facing you at the moment. But that's not what the Bible would say. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ would say. Lord Jesus Christ would say, come to me, come, and I will give you rest. And so the name of the Lord, this strong tower, is our salvation. We also see the name of the Lord being this. The name of the Lord is our sanctuary. The name of the Lord is our sanctuary. Not only is it the place of rescue and safety from the danger that we face, it is also the place of rest and peace. I know certainly that you will be all too familiar with rain. And whenever that rain starts pouring down and so on, and you've forgotten your coat, and there's nothing to cover your head, and you're getting absolutely soaked, and you run into somewhere out of the rain, and you just think, yeah, that's good. Just to be in that place where you're at rest from what has been attacking you, that which has been thrown at you, you're at rest, you find your peace. It's somewhere where not only you feel safe, you also feel at rest. And that's the idea too that comes from this strong tower. Because not only is it that place of salvation and rescue, it's a place of rest. Where those things that would have harmed you, that would have troubled you, no longer do so. No longer have the same impact and the same effect upon you. And so we are able to say that in a raging world, so we are able to say with all the dangers that may surround it, around us, both physical and indeed spiritual, that we can come into the presence of God, and as Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. And isn't that a wonderful picture of rest? Isn't that a wonderful picture of peace? Just simply being still and knowing that He is God. Just think of those people down in the borders whenever they would be under attack from other leaving families. The borders were a dangerous place at a time. That's why they moved everybody over to Ireland. But anyway, there were all those attacks in the borders. The leaving families would attack one another. And you can imagine those of the Elliot name around Hermitage Castle just running to the citadel, running to the castle, going through those doors, finding safety within those walls. But not just safety. Able to say, I now am at rest. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what the degree of the attack has been. I can rest now behind these walls of this strong tower. And so it is with us whenever we come to Christ, whenever we call out to the name of the Lord for salvation. It doesn't matter what may be attacking us. Doesn't matter what worries, anxieties may assail us. Doesn't matter what opposition we may face, and we are going to face that. Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. So we shouldn't be surprised whenever trouble in every form comes along. But when that trouble comes along, when we are faced with it, when we're assailed by it, whenever we feel we're about to be crushed utterly, there is a place of sanctuary. There is a place of rest. And that place is in the name of the Lord. Whenever Martin Luther was imprisoned in Fort Burr Castle, whenever various authorities were chasing after him, wanting to do him to death. He was taken under the wing of the Elector of Saxony and given this safe place behind these walls where he was able to go on with his work at peace. And it was behind those walls that he meditated upon the words of Psalm 46. And he talked about the great fortress of our Lord. You see, we need to understand and we need to realize if we are going to find peace and find rest, that our Lord is a strong tower. That yes, the storms may blow. Yes, the rain may fall. Yes, we may feel threatened and endangered at times. But in the name of the Lord, our situation before him will not, cannot, and does not change. And so we look on the Lord as this strong tower. And so we look at the name of the Lord as being the means by which we enter this strong tower. And this is our peace. And wherever we go, whatever we do, we carry that name with us. We bear that name. And the power and the authority that comes with it. If you have a British passport and you looked inside your British passport, you would see that it says there that Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requires in the name of Her Majesty all those whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer each assistance and protection as may be necessary. You see, the name of the Lord is that privilege. The name of the Lord is that strong tower where we carry the name of the Lord with us. And whenever we are assailed, criticized, condemned, oppressed, whatever, it is not just us that person, those authorities are oppressing. It is also Christ himself. That we do not go alone. We do not move alone. But Christ is with us every step of the way. And so while we have this picture of this sanctuary, this strong tower, and being safe within its walls, that safety comes because of the name of the Lord with all that power and authority. And we carry that with us wherever we go, wherever we are. That's a privilege that we have. And so that even whenever things are difficult, whenever we may be under that bit of pressure, not to speak out perhaps as we should, not to speak the truth as we should. I'll just keep quiet at this moment. And doesn't that disturb us whenever we don't? But we have this peace in the name of the Lord because of his strong tower that comes with his power and his authority. And we speak it, and we speak it with that power and authority. And so we are at rest. So we can be at peace because of the name of the Lord being this strong tower. And so as God has rescued us because of his salvation, he brings us to this place which is a refuge. A place of peace. Somewhere where we can know that peace. Somewhere that we can be grow stronger in that peace, so that we can go out and show his power and authority by that peace and by that rest. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It is our salvation. It is our sanctuary. Is this your experience of the name of the Lord this evening? To know that peace, that rest, simply by being still before him within the safety of his tower? And we also see, thirdly and lastly, the name of the Lord is our surety. Is our surety. Just notice who this is talking about. This is talking about the righteous man running into the tower. The righteous man being safe. And of course, that righteousness that is being talked about there is having that right standing before God. Being righteous in the sight of God. And as God has promised his righteousness to all those who call on him in the name of the Lord, so this righteousness is based upon that promise, upon that covenant that God makes, that those who confess their sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And so we are able to stand in the presence of God. And so we are able to come into his presence because of his steadfast covenant love. And this matter of the name of the Lord being a strong tower then is for those who know his steadfast covenant love. It's only for them. And as we come before this promise-making and promise-keeping God, we have the surety of his name that he will not break his promises. I think it's still the case that if you were to look at that £10 note, that £20 note, at least the Bank of England one, it says on it, "I promise to pay the bearer." There's a promise of the value that is contained in that note. The paper itself is worthless. It's the promise that is the significant thing. And so, as we come to him in the name of the Lord, as we enter into this strong tower, as we are rescued by salvation, as we are safe in the sanctuary, so we have this surety of the name. It's like that matter of somebody with authority signing the name. It's like somebody who is awarded an official honour, like an OBE or an MBE, like that. Something like that. And that only carries weight, that only carries significance because the signature of Elizabeth R is upon it. If that signature was not there, it would be worthless. The name of the Lord is like a signature upon the righteous. The name of the Lord is like a signature upon those who have called out to him and whom he has called into fellowship with himself. It's like God has placed his mark, put his sign upon them. And that sign, that signature is indelible. It cannot, it will never be removed. And so we have that confidence, we have that certainty that we are God's because he has promised it. And because his promise is sure and certain, because he is the one who gave the promise in the first place, then we do not need to worry. We do not need to be concerned. That promise will be fulfilled. It will be brought through to that final culmination. What he has said, he will do. And that is the matter of us being in that strong tower in the safety and the security of salvation in the name of the Lord. There is nothing and no one that can take us from that position. There is nothing and no one that can pluck us out from that place of safety. What does the Bible say about plucking from the hand of God? No one can pluck us from that hand. This is our surety. This is our confidence. This is our strength. So often we can think of our strength in some other ways. It's something that I have to do. It's something that I have to work at. And if I'm weak, if I'm feeble, then the promise somehow fades away and it's faltering too. And there are many Christians who struggle in their walk because of that type of thinking. But when we think of the name of the Lord, of salvation coming in the name of the Lord, of sanctuary coming because of the name of the Lord, then the surety comes with it. We are secure and absolutely secure within this strong tower. There are some translations that instead of using the word strong, they talk about high tower. Both are perfectly legitimate. But if you think of that matter of the high tower, of being up on a height, up above things in some way, there's all that trouble down below. There's all the raging hordes, the storm, the anxiety and everything. And it's beating against the wall. It's hammering on the door. And sometimes you may think that that tower is going to topple over. But then it comes to this, the surety of it. Of God saying, no, I have promised to keep you safe. I am the God who will bring you through and will deliver you blameless on that final day. There is a certainty, there is a surety, there is an absoluteness about that. And just to use another illustration of another castle that you know so well, that of Edinburgh Castle. Isn't it such an impressive building? And as we're heading to Edinburgh tomorrow, we'll be driving down that road and we'll see that castle just on the skyline, perched high on the crag. And when you're standing below those walls, the walls soar up to the sky. It's there as an ultimate picture of strength and stability. And the remarkable thing is this, that in over 1,000 years of its constant existence, it has not been stormed once. Not once. Those gates have closed. The drawbridge has been drawn up and it has remained sure and secure. And behind its walls, sitting in the safety that was there, those who were behind it were able to say, we have confidence in this place. We have confidence in those walls. We have confidence in that gate. We have confidence in how strong this place is. We are sure. There will come a day whenever places like Edinburgh Castle will not be able to stand. There will come a day when any creation of man will collapse and crumple. But here is something that will never collapse and crumple. The name of the Lord, this strong tower in which those who are righteous reside, it will remain against all attacks, against every enemy. And we must be safe and secure, and know that we are safe and secure within those walls. And know that the name of the Lord is our security, our surety. There's one very telling passage that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, where he talks about those who come and those who come to him and they say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do this for you? Did we not do that for you?" But he says to them, "I never knew you. I never knew you." In other words, you were never in the place where you were safe. You were never in that tower. You never ran to that tower. You never found your safety within that tower. Rather, you stayed outside. You did not call on the name of the Lord. And so you don't know salvation. You don't know this sanctuary. You don't have this surety. But those who call on the name of the Lord for salvation, this is something that is sure and certain. This is something that is eternal. This is something which should be our peace, be our hope, and indeed be our joy. So let me ask you, let me challenge you. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Not just to help you in time of trouble. Not just to bring you through a difficult situation. But have you called on the name of the Lord for salvation? Have you called on the name of the Lord to rescue you from the danger in which you are? Have you called on the name of the Lord so that you know him as a sanctuary in times of trouble? Have you called on the name of the Lord so that you know him personally as your Savior? And you have that surety and that security of the promises he has made. So I hope that the next time, whenever you're anywhere in this country of yours, with the many castles that you see around you, that you look at that castle, wherever it is, and you think, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are saved. Amen.